Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
And good morning again, and welcome to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and we are back for another show. And ladies, I hope we are doing well this morning.
Sorry.
What, did I confuse you?
No, you didn't confuse me. I'm just being a smart aleck with what we've been dealing with the past week with the smoke in the air.
Ah, yes, with the wildfires that make the sun look very, very creepy.
Holy cow, yeah.
It's like living in a sepia filter. It's
kind of creepy.
Yeah, and it is. And it's kind of the way like post-Armageddon films are colored. You know, they kind of have that yellow orangish feel to them.
And you want to know something else? This is really a first world problem because this stuff is pretty serious, the smoky stuff. But I went through a car wash and I got home and I'm like, dang, $20 and my car is covered with something. And I didn't realize at the time I drove through all the smoke. Like, don't wash your car because the smoke settles on your car.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, well, on the wet car, it sticks.
It sticks, and it's the color of the air, and it's really gross. So imagine, I mean, it's getting all over everything. It's getting all over us. And in us, I suppose, right? Because we're breathing this stuff.
Correct.
Yep. Well, not too much for Frankenberry because he doesn't leave the house much. But
good point. Though I do have open windows, but I have fans.
That's a help.
Oh, so just swirling it around helps.
Yes. So just swirl it around, and I don't mean I've got fans like I've got people in the corner just applauding me when I walk through the door.
You do. Yeah.
that would be kind of cool though, wouldn't it? And just to walk in your door and hear, "Woo-hoo!" Hey, look, I've got fans. Yeah.
Frankenberry, can you go back and like pull that little sound bite of you going "woo"? Okay. And then the next time I ask a really good question, can you boop play that?
Oh, without a doubt. And I'm sure that I can recreate the woohoo for you, Carol. So I don't think I have to go back and
put it. It was perfect. What'd you say?
It's going to come in handy.
It will. Now, but the question I have is, though, if I'm going to have a little sound effect for when you, Carol, ask a brilliant question, what sound effect do I use? Is it like a wah, wah for Jonna?
When Jonna asks a stupid question? Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
No, that's too obvious. We got to do something like get the gong from like the gong show when I ask a stupid question.
We could do the squeaky chicken sound bite that you did.
Yeah, or we could do a slide whistle. I like slide whistles.
Slide whistle?
Frankenberry, I'm going to leave it in your hands, okay?
You know the sound of a slide whistle that just goes, "Gee-oo." Oh, a slide whistle is a great sound. I'll have to find it for you.
Okay, thanks.
Now, you're welcome.
If we're gonna be talking about sounds, I think we should discuss what we're going to discuss right now is actually something we've not done before. It's a part two to something I complained about not that long ago. So there was a part one not that long ago where maybe right now we could insert the sound of my doorbell because that's what I was complaining about.
That's right. At 9:45 at night on a Tuesday. Yes.
You remembered 9:45 at night on a Tuesday.
In a darkened house.
In a darkened house, somebody rang my doorbell. And a couple, 3 weeks ago, I had a little complaint about that we spoke about on the air. And I thought that would be the end of it. I mean, didn't you guys? I thought that would be the end of it. Someone dings your doorbell, 9:45 on a Tuesday. You don't answer. You don't hear from him again. That's the end of it, right?
And you saw that it was a male, and you saw him walk towards the house next door.
Oh, yes. That's right.
And I still can't believe that because I texted you guys the next morning. I'm like, I'm still like in shock that happened. Who would do that?
Nobody in their right mind would do that. But I figured it was a one-off. Well, I was
just say you were incorrect, John. It's a lot easier.
I was mistaken. How do I know I was mistaken? Because just when I was forgetting about the dude who dinged my doorbell at 9:45 on a Tuesday, It was a Thursday, a Thursday at 8:45, a little earlier. I'm not asleep, unfortunately, though I would have wanted to be. I am in my kitchen with lights on, so I can't pretend that I'm not home when my doorbell dings again.
Wow.
Oh, no.
So yeah. I'm going to assume, since this is part two, obviously this is going to be the same dude. He didn't by any chance come to apologize, did he?
Well, now that would be interesting, right? Because if you ding somebody's doorbell at 9:45 on a school night in a darkened house, and then you think about that for 2 weeks and decide to come over at 8:45 on a Thursday, I would really be scared. So, no, he did not come over to apologize. But you are correct, Frank and Barry, in that I was paid another visit by the same dude from a couple weeks prior. Since I could not hide, because you guys have seen, I can't hide in my house. The lights are on. I'm in the kitchen. You know, I probably had the TV going. Like, he knew that there was life. So
which he was trying to end that night. Again, he's a very polite murderer. At least he rings the doorbell before he slashes your throat.
Exactly. Right.
Which were thoughts that were going through my head, but I decided to suck it up, and I'm like, all right, now.
Because curiosity's killing you now, right?
Yes. And, you know, and I was sitting there, it couldn't escape. I said, now I'm going to find out what this guy wanted from 2 weeks ago. All right. So I open the door and I say, hello. And he goes, hello.
A-hole.
Now, I probably, to my discredit, I probably did not open the door all bright and sunny and happy, because I don't get bright and sunny and happy when I have unexpected people dinging my doorbell. At any hour. You guys know this. And
oh, yeah. It's like almost as bad as calling someone on the phone.
Oh, God forbid.
We don't call. Nobody calls.
No, don't call me.
So I answered that. So now I wasn't mean, right? I just wasn't like, oh, welcome. Come on in. I just baked some muffins. Here, have some, you know, we'll go and home-baked muffins. That's not me. You know, it's not me. So I think what I was doing was I was probably grumbling about my hair because I really hate it lately, and pouring the last remnants of wine when all of a sudden my doorbell rings. Okay. So now, interestingly, I open the door. I immediately recognize that it is the person from a couple weeks ago who I have seen next door from afar since then. And he's not smiling either. Like, this wasn't, hey, neighbor, I'm new here. Just wanted to introduce myself. I have muffins of my own. No need to get your, like, it wasn't that. Right. So he actually wasn't even smiling, and he kind of sheepishly looks down and he introduces himself as, you know, he gave his name and he said, I'm the son of the owners next door, which was weird. Like, he didn't say, I live next door. I'm your neighbor. I'm the son of the owners. Okay. Now, these are the little things that I notice. So I said, yeah, what can I do for you? And he, at that point, but now I'm, you know, drum roll, please, because this is what he wanted 2 weeks ago at 9:45 from a darkened house. He wanted to know if I would be so kind as to turn off the ambient lighting on my deck. Now, when I say ambient lighting, what I mean, it is barely above a string of fairy lights. Like, it is a Christmas light string that is directly under my upper deck, going down onto my lower deck, attached to my house. It is not bright at all. It's ambient.
Okay? And it's under like a little bit of a hip roof, like a little, you know, permanent awning kind of a thing, right?
It's under my upper deck. That is now my upper deck because I have two. It's directly underneath that, shining down on my lower deck.
Oh, my God.
Now, he wanted to know if I
God, would, what I would pay Frankenberry for the image of her face after that came out of his pie hole.
I know.
guys, I got to tell you, I was simultaneously proud of myself and shocked at the restraint that I exhibited, because I know the look on my face had to be bad, because he asked if I would shut those off. And so at first I looked at him, but you know, like when you're making a weird sound at your dog and your dog kind of tilts his head.
Exactly. I was just thinking the same thing. Yep.
Well, the dogs get it from us because that's exactly what I did.
With a little sound that went,
And I said, and I point toward that direction. And I said, you mean the little lights on my deck? And he said, yeah. And I said, still nice, but restrained. I said, no, I like those lights on my deck because it illuminates my deck. And I said, what's the problem? And he said, well, those lights interfere. Hang on to your hats, kids. Those lights interfere with my ability to enjoy the stars.
I think you got the punked. Stars.
Wow. And I started to think I was getting punked too. And I probably chuckled and I said, no, they don't. And he said, yes, they do, because they go out, they leave your deck and they light up your yard. So now, first of all, they don't. But
no, they're not powerful enough to do that. And they're up on your deck.
They do not. Right. They're not any sort of spot. I'm telling you, they are a string of what we look up fairy lights. That's what they are. But anyway, so now I'm like, I don't really get it. So I said, well, the operative word is mine, as in my yard. And I said, I promise you they are not making one bit of difference in your ability to enjoy the sky. So turning them off is not going to make a difference. And then, so at this point, if I was getting punked, this is when he should have laughed and said, ha ha, just kidding. Here are the muffins. That's not, that's not what he did. So instead, he, continued to try to make a case. And I just said, I like the lights. I like my deck lit. I didn't tell him that I like my deck lit so I can see if strangers like you are walking upon it in the middle of the night. I left that part out and I just said, I like them. They're not going to make a difference. Even if we gave it a try, it wouldn't make a difference. And then he said, all right, well, I just thought I'd ask. And I said, can't blame me for trying. Bye-bye now. And I shut the door. And then I proceeded to stomp around my house, mad at the gall that somebody would come. And I wasn't just mad that he came over to ask me to shut my lights on my deck because they bothered his ability to look at the sky, which is freaking ridiculous. I was more mad that now I knew that 2 weeks earlier at 9:45, that's what he came over to tell me. Then I got super mad. But I just stomped around.
Like somebody who's like a stoner dude would do that.
Yes.
Did he seem like he was?
Well, that could be the case. Not that I want to be judgy.
Certainly could be.
It's not judgy. It's a matter of fact. Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't.
And I'm surprised that you didn't respond to him, when he asked you that, to say, so what you're asking is that at night, so that you can see the stars, that I need to bathe my house in darkness so I feel less comfortable when I go to bed.
Yes.
You know what? I am going to do that for you there, next door neighbor, because I am a neighborly type like that. But by the way, when you see the lights and you hear the sirens outside the front of my home, that's going to be on your head. Okay.
Which I promise will interfere with your ability to see the stars.
Exactly.
Chana, that's amazing. Never in a million years would
that's almost like walking over to somebody's house and saying, hey, listen, you know that second floor window that you have? I don't know if it's a bedroom or not, but sometimes there's a light on in it. Can you not turn that light on?
Yes.
I know.
It was so nonsensical for so many reasons, not the least of which is I see the stars in the sky just fine. In fact, I often lay there and go, my God, these stars are so beautiful. It's the same. We're looking at the same sky because we're neighbors. Same sky. I can see them no problem. And I'm on top of the lights.
So, and by the way, your father, who owns the house, has decided to rent it out every weekend to somebody different as an Airbnb, who have parties, who have bonfires, whatever. And have you said a word? No.
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 You have not. You have not complained.
And that's a funny thing, because I thought, so here's the calculation that was going on in my head when I was being very restrained. Now, first of all, he's not a kid. The person was not a kid. He's probably like, I'd say early 20s. But I know from living there, and I've, even though they've owned the house now for probably close to 2 years, I've only seen this guy recently. So I don't know if he came from someplace. I don't know. But he's not a child. He's like a young man. And as I was biting my tongue, almost literally, I said to myself, I could do exactly what you said, Carol. I could unleash and talk about the Airbnb and how they only rent to people who like music that repeats the F-bomb over and over, and that I have to endure these nightly bonfires. And I'm not kidding when I say they're every night. That I have to endure that, that I have to endure, the different beer and kites and all over the place, and the dogs running on my yard, which I actually, to be truth, I don't mind that part. But you know what I mean. I was
yeah.
But then I said, I'm complaining to the girl that's bagging your groceries at the grocery store when really you need to complain to management, right? So I said to myself, he's not management. I'm not going to complain to him. But can I just add a little epilogue?
Oh, yes. Please do.
Yes, please do.
Okay. So off he goes. Off I go, stomping around till the steam came out. And then I went to sleep. Next day, maybe the day after, I'm sitting on my deck, which I love sitting on my deck, but I do get to hear an awful lot that goes on. I'm sitting on my deck, and all of a sudden there is the person from next door enjoying his yard. That's totally what he can do. I'm not complaining about that. But he wheeled out a contraption that looked like a gigantic bow, as in bow and arrow, but it was on its side. So it more resembled like a gigantic.
I thought you were going to say bong when you got gigantic.
It was like a gigantic catapult. And it was huge. Like it had to be like 10 feet long and 10 feet, like the bow part was 10 feet wide and the vertical part was 10 feet long. And there was this big wooden crank, and he kept cranking it and cranking it and cranking it. And I'm like,
what?
I'm like, what? It was like a medieval torture device. And I said, what can this thing be? And so I kind of stood up to get a better look, and he wheeled it away. So I didn't know what it was. The next day comes out again with this giant, weird catapult. When sure enough, it was a catapult.
What?
He took like a big arrow or a spear or a huge stick. And he cranked it and he cranked it and he went 1, 2, 3 and boom, catapulted this thing.
Stop
out,
it.
I'm not making it up, out into his yard. And then the next night he had a friend and he did it again, only this made me mad because he did it toward the river. Now, the projectile did not make it into the river, and it was like the size of a yardstick. So it wasn't like, hopefully going to kill somebody. But now I'm like, what is this guy? Where do you get a catapult? And why are you catapulting?
It sounds like a giant crossbow, for God's sakes.
Like, did it come from inside the house? Like something keeping their living room? That's so bizarre.
I don't know where they stow it. But if you think about it, you guys, like first, I'm interfering with the ability to see the stars. Then all of a sudden, oh, I have a giant catapult, and I'm going to train myself on how to catapult a giant projectile because I'm waiting for him to light something on fire and catapult it in my direction to teach me a thing or two for not shutting my damn lights.
And he probably pulls it, waits till he sees you. Pull it out.
And you know what, Jonna? You know what you can do at the last moment when your deck is on fire and you're standing on your deck inside the flames? You can yell across the yard to him, I'll bet you can't see the blanking stars now, can you? On you, buddy.
And then I'm going to yell, hey, you kids, get off of my lawn.
There you go.
I'm not going to go down the ship. I'm just going to let the flames engulf me. That's until right. I'm
dead. Oh, but she had a great color lipstick on.
She did.
Perfectly done.
Yep.
Guys,
oh, dropped it. Find me. I just dropped it. That was the best I could do based on this conversation.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot. We're going. Go ahead, Carol. Nicely done.
That was pretty good. Right. Based on the way this conversation was going, I've been reaching for the last 5 minutes, and that's all I got for you.
So, right. I wasn't going to make it easy for you. That's for sure.
So we have coming up after the break, we're going to share with you for the second time an interview we did, maybe a month or two back with Kristen Helmstetter. She's awesome, got great energy. She's written a series of books all about the power of self-talk. And her first book was Coffee Self-Talk. She's come out with Wine Self-Talk. And her most recent one is called Lipstick Self-Talk. And it's like an even quicker way that on a daily basis, as long as it takes you to put your lipstick on, that you can reinforce to yourself some positive affirmations and some positive self-talk, which we can all benefit from. We love her. So we figured it'd be fun to run that interview again.
Okay, that sounds good. And plus, I remember after the first time I heard the interview, I thought that was so helpful because I've always been thinking of things that I could think about while I'm putting my lipstick on. So that is what's up next. You've got Jonna Spielberg.
There you go.
You've got Carol Pesci, and you're listening to Happy Hour, and we will be right back. Excuse me, so please stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spielberg and Carol Pesci. And it's time now to get to our guest. And we have a returning guest today, Kristen Helmstetter. And Carol, why don't you remind our audience of who it is we're going to be talking to today?
Okay, so first of all, she's not exactly a guest. I'm going to call her a friend at this point because she's joined us enough times and she's our kind of people. She's awesome. Kristen Helmstetter has written more than 10 books on self-talk. She also writes romance novels under the pen name of Abrisa Starr. Her popular podcast, Coffee Self-Talk with Kristen Helmstetter, shares her formula for living an intentional life with a happy, magical mindset. She splits her time between Florida and more recently Northern Michigan and a medieval hilltop town in Umbria, Italy with her husband and daughter. And she is here today to talk to us about her latest book in her self-talk series called Lipstick Self-Talk, a radical little self-love book. Kristen, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Thank you, my friends. I love that.
Yes. And Carol, before we get into it, just a real quick question for you. What is the distinction, by the way, between a guest and a friend?
Well, a guest is more formal that we don't know them as well.
Okay.
So she's both. She's both.
So she's a friendly guest as opposed to the regular guest, which is, you know, yes, you can stay in the extra room.
The rude kind.
Yes, but we don't like you and then leave in the morning. Okay.
We can call her a gend. Get it?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I wish I didn't get that one. Sorry.
That's almost as bad as when you had a bad dye job on your hair and you called it blorange.
Blorange, yeah.
Blonde orange.
Wow. I've had hair like that. I know how that is.
Oh my gosh. Well, sometimes blonde becomes blorange as it oxidizes. Anyway, you know Frank and Barry what we're talking about, right? You've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Kristen, welcome back to the show. Congratulations on your latest book. I want to get into how this one's a little bit different than your others. But first, for those who might be tuning in and hearing you for the first time, tell us a little bit about your backstory and what caused you to begin writing these self-talk books.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So it's been about 5 years, almost 6 years. We were living in Arizona, my family. I have this amazing husband and this beautiful daughter, and my life on paper looked really great. But I just found that every day I was waking up, I just felt like there was kind of a cloud hanging over me. I felt like I had to struggle to find happiness, and I felt like life kind of whipped me around by my ponytail. I would just get anxiety easily and stressed out easily. And so when that happens, I said to my husband one day, I was like, you know, let's just sell it all and like go travel the world. Cause I was looking for an answer to fix my problem. And the short story of that is we did it. We sold it all. We traveled the world. We were in Italy. And again, in Italy, I'm in these beautiful ancient cafes and I'm living la dolce vita on paper. Like everything seemed so great, but I still had this like simmering anxiety in my skin. I felt like there was more to life. And so, you know, I was no stranger to self-help books and I knew that I had to change what was going on inside my head. I had to change my behaviors if I was going to change my life because moving to Italy didn't do it. It was a beautiful place to be, but I was still me. You know, I hadn't really changed me. So I really got into self-talk and I started writing positive self-talk affirmations first thing in the morning with my coffee. And that's how the book Coffee Self-Talk came to be. One day I was sitting in my tiny Italian kitchen and I was feeling just kind of heavy and weighted. And I thought, you know what? What am I doing? I'm jumping into email. I'm diving into social media and I'm like experiencing comparisonitis and nothing that was uplifting. It was like I was starting my day out on defense. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I got to change my behavior. So I put my phone in airplane mode and I start just typing up in the notes application, positive affirmations like I am worthy. I am beautiful. I am rich and healthy and amazing. Now, I didn't really feel like any of those things. And that's kind of one of the big things. It's like, it felt
rich,
like I was
I'm
telling,
healthy. I'm beautiful. Right, I'm a liar.
Right. And I was in debt at the time. And, right. So, but I knew the power of repetition and I knew the power of self-talk. I just had never had a strategy with it. And my strategy became that I would do this every morning with my cup of coffee, like 5 minutes. And oh my gosh, my life transformed. I completely turned my life around because I changed my self-talk. I started talking nicely to myself. I started loving myself. And when you do that, everything changes.
100%. And so what? You're not alone, obviously. I think a lot of people deal with this. Why do you think it is that we have developed this negative self-talk or self-talk that doesn't support us, or why the concept of loving ourselves seems so foreign?
I think it's different for different people. I come from a history where I had a really rocky life and childhood, and I've been divorced. And like, I had a lot of things. I had a lot of issues. And I think for some people, that's it. You just never grew up knowing the power of self-love. And then there's people who feel guilty. They're like, oh, I can't love myself. I've got to put everybody else ahead of me. Or, you know, so it's a combination of either the wiring in your brain from what you have experienced all your life to this kind of fear to really love yourself. Because when you do, you become really authentic. Like you show up to your life differently when you have self-love and you use your self-talk to create this confident person, this person with a high self-esteem. And you almost feel like a stranger to yourself at first. But I think we live in a world where, you know, there's clickbait headlines, there's negativity all around. And unless you intentionally turn that stuff off, including things like social media often. Like I am not a huge fan of it. Like I totally see some value and I can get inspired when I'm on Instagram, but I have to be careful because it can be a slippery slope for me. So I think it's what you surround yourself with. I think it's your childhood, it's your upbringing, and it's your self-esteem.
So it's really interesting, Kristen. Sorry, this is Jonah. I like the message that just changing your environment when you're feeling, you know, things bubbling up and you're not really content or thrilled or overjoyed or happy or what have you is not going to cut it. Like you got to work on you first. And then if you want to sell everything and move to Italy, it might, you know, a better idea if you work on you first.
Yeah. And the great thing about that is it's easy. I mean, it's simple. It's not always easy, but it's the low hanging fruit because you don't have to spend money going to a gym. You don't have to do anything fancy. You just have to start saying nice things to yourself.
Kristen, can you expand on a little bit on the science for this? You mentioned the word rewiring, and that is not an exaggeration.
Right.
Talk about our neural pathways if you can for a moment.
Sure. Please. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can think of it as like roads in your brain, right? Pathways in your brain. And they are grooved. They are created based on your behaviors and your thoughts, and they get deeper or stronger the more you repeat something and the more you believe something. And what typically happens is the more you repeat something, the stronger that belief happens. So you might not start out believing something, but you just repeat it, whether it's what you're repeating that you hear externally, the news, those kinds of things, or it's repeating your self-talk, whether it's positive or negative. And as you repeat it, you start to believe it. And those like grooves, those connections in your brain, they get deeper and deeper. And so it can be hard to dismantle and change that. But once you do, once you start changing, it will change the wiring in your brain and it will become your new default. So for example, when something happens, and this is just such a silly example, but like if I dropped a jar of pickles on the floor 5 years ago, I would berate myself. I would cuss. I would be like, oh my God, I'm such an idiot, you know? And now if I drop the jar of pickles on the floor, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll clean that up. And then I don't think twice about it. And that's because I've changed the way I react to things because I've changed my brain.
What's so powerful about this is it really begins, as it did with you, with a simple decision. I am going to change how I think about myself and my life. It's that decision. Then you come along and give us a very brilliant and easy to follow process to do that, to then start rewiring your thought patterns into something that serves you. And you do it with intentions, deciding, how do I want to feel about myself? How do I want to feel about my life? And what are the conversations I need to begin to start having to build that within my brain first? And then watch the magic as it happens around you, right?
Right. And here's why this is so easy to do. It's because it's not like I'm telling you, oh, you need to meditate 20 minutes a day. Cause like, and that's amazing, right? If you meditate 20 minutes a day, but we don't always have 20 minutes a day to meditate. So what I've done with Coffee Self-Talk and with this newer book, Lipstick Self-Talk, is I've found a time in your day when you're doing something anyway, and I'm habit stacking. I'm stacking the self-talk onto it. So I was going to drink my coffee anyway and scroll Instagram. Well, let me take out the Instagram and let me do my self-talk instead, or, you know, jumping into email or whatever it is. But by stacking it with something you're already doing, you know what it does? It gets you to show up every day to do it. And when you show up every day, it makes it easier to believe. And then, you know, for some people, it's a week. Some people, it's a day, and they just feel so different that it becomes addictive. And some people, it's a few weeks. It's like they notice kind of a transition over time, but they notice themselves being nicer to themselves, like less critical. And I could cry when I think about it because it's such an incredible feeling when that happens.
Kristen, is it possible, or I think I know the answer to this, the nicer you are to yourself, does it follow that the nicer you will be to everybody around you?
Oh my gosh, it is so true. In Lipstick Self-Talk, I talk about that, how when I stopped judging myself so harshly, I stopped judging other people. And that just made life so much easier. I mean, that's what it does. It makes your life easier. It makes it happier. It makes you feel more whole and healthy and fulfilled. So absolutely. And it's a beautiful part of this. And it was kind of an unexpected thing to me. I mean, I started building up my self-love and I stopped judging myself so harshly. And then I found myself being so much more easygoing and relaxed around other people. I hadn't expected that benefit, but you're spot on.
Jonna, brilliant question.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes. Nicely done, Spielberg.
I don't, wait, could you? I'm having a bad connection. You're all going to need to repeat yourself.
Fuck on. Oh my gosh. Kristen, early on in your book, Lipstick Self-Talk, you mentioned how being vulnerable is actually an act of self-love. Can you expand on that?
Oh gosh, yeah. Being vulnerable, being just your authentic self and being willing to make mistakes and you know, being okay with being afraid to do something, it makes you such a stronger person because you show up so natural. You don't put up any false fronts. And so when you are vulnerable, it's saying to yourself, I love myself. I accept myself the way I am. And that's what I'm going to present to the world. And it feels vulnerable at first. It feels vulnerable the first many times. But after a while, you get so used to it and you get so comfortable in your own skin. You get so comfortable with the space that you take up that it's a beautiful experience.
I don't think that there's anything more powerful or that we as human beings share in common is that desire to feel like we're in the right skin.
Mm. Right. Exactly. Right?
And, yep. And that's what this helps you do. And you mentioned early on when you were sharing your story, and I want to kind of tie back into that for a minute, because you talked about how, and I went through this very, very same experience a number of years ago, wrote about it in my book, Hello Beautiful, where my resume looked fantastic. Me on paper, having written a book, I at the time had launched a wine brand. I'm married to a great guy, still am. Just good shape on paper. And this underlying, ugh, I don't feel right. And then what happens, and I think it's important to talk about this because there's people listening right now whose life on paper may look great, but it's so confusing. And then you judge it even more when you don't feel great also. And you think, well, I don't have a right to not feel great. Well, no, that's the truth of how you feel. And that's the place to start.
Right. I used to hide behind, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I used to hide behind my success. I was, you know, I had a good job and I did a good job at work. Like, you needed something done, I was your girl. I could get it done. And so I had a little bit of confidence from that. But it was like I was using it as kind of a shell to hide behind, because deep down, I didn't feel worthy. But I found other ways to try to make myself feel worthy. But it wasn't enough, because over time it caught up with me, and I realized that. And that's when I kind of had a dark night of my soul, and I was like, this isn't working. I have got to change, because I can't rely on, you know, business success to fulfill me and to make me feel whole. I need to do that from the inside.
That's absolutely true.
It's so funny, because what you describe and what I know other people have described too, it's like we have this chicken egg argument with ourselves constantly until we figure it out. And, you know, you're not, like you said, you moved to Italy, but you were in a lot of debt. And we've had, we have another friend of the show, again, or Frest, however you want it to describe it, who actually, her job is to help people stay on budget and form a budget and, you know, get their financial act together. And it turns out her financial act was so not together that she had to do a radical change. And it, I can understand people be like, all right, this is what I need to fix in myself, so I'm going to show other people how to do it. But eventually those two aspects of yourself are going to punch each other square in the throat until you go, wait a minute, this doesn't work together. I really need to fix A before I can talk about B. And I think that's a big revelation that a lot of us are afraid of, which is why we don't often do it easily.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You know, one of the things that happens, you had asked about like why lipstick self-talk versus coffee self-talk. And when I put coffee self-talk out, I had a lot of positive responses and it was exciting, and people were taking charge of their lives and making changes. But every now and then I would get an email from someone who would say, this sounds so amazing, I don't have 5 minutes. And I'm like, whoa, you need self-love. Like, I address self-love and coffee self-talk, but I knew there was a group of people who needed just an entire book about self-love, which is what lipstick self-talk is about. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to tie your self-talk to when you put your lipstick on. It's a book I've dedicated to women. It's primarily written for women. And I'm like, I know most of you are putting on lipstick or lip balm every day. And that 20, 30, 40 seconds in the mirror, you're going to say some affirmations and you are going to empower yourself.
So that's the big difference with this book. Your coffee self-talk includes self-love, but it's other things about relationships or how you're showing up at work or you're accomplished. Lipstick yes. self-talk is exclusively about creating self-talk that reinforces your self-love.
Yes. And when you do that, it's like, I like to compare it to a people mover at the airport. You know how you can be walking along and you can choose people mover and it's going to help you coast, or you cannot choose the people mover and you got to lug that heavy suitcase. Well, when you're on the people mover, that's like what it feels like to have this core foundation of self-love. It helps you coast through life. It helps you attain your goals faster and smarter and better. And so it impacts everything in your life, relationships, money, health, fitness, everything, because of that core, rock solid foundation of self-love you build.
I feel like this would be an amazing book for not only any woman, but teens.
Oh yeah. Well, I do have a chapter in it that it's for young women and up.
Okay.
Gotcha. But I have considered making a teen version, because I did a teen version for Coffee Self-Talk that kind of focused on school success and peer pressure and stuff like that. So I think that's an incredible idea. And I think I'll probably put something together for even younger girls.
Well, and then we'll just have to get you back here again.
I'd love that.
Absolutely. Oh. That would really be a fantastic idea, because I have a lot of people who work for me who have teenage daughters, and I can tell, I don't have any, but they're like Martians, and it really is difficult, especially for single moms who are trying to raise teen daughters. And I remember being a teen daughter, and I spent about 10 years of my life grounded because it's difficult. It is difficult to raise them. That would be an amazing book. So I think it was just born right here on the air today.
Thank you. Thank you. Brilliant. Spot on, people.
Kristen, before we wrap up, you used a wonderful, and so here's one of the many things that I love about you, the message that you're giving to us, the avenue to rewire how we look at ourselves and feel about ourselves. But you're also very casual and warm and fun in your delivery. And I love that, because there's so many brilliant books out there, fantastic authors that have amazing content. And it's like, just getting through, it's very dry. You're not like that. You're very fun. I feel like I'm talking to my girlfriend. So, and one of the things that you do often, and you've already done it in this interview today, is use fantastic analogies that help us understand things better. Can you talk about how our life is like chocolate cake?
Right. Okay. So yes. So when you make a chocolate cake, you want what? Chocolate cake ingredients, right? You know, your sugar and your butter and your eggs and your chocolate. You're not going to put in, ground beef or Parmesan cheese, right? You want to put in the ingredients that are going to give you the outcome that you desire. And I like to think about our lives as that. So what do you want your life to be? You need to have the right ingredients. So you have to have the right self-talk to create the outcome you want. It's like a recipe. So every time you're thinking about whether it's a little project you're going to do or something huge and expansive, like a life change, you think about what the end result is. And then you know what it takes to bake it. You know what it takes to make it, right? You know the ingredients that you need to put in. And then you just got to show up every day and put those ingredients in.
I love that. And I really wouldn't mind if my life were a chocolate cake. Oh, that's a great analogy. Kristen, we're wrapping up here with Kristen Helmstetter. She is the author of 10 books. Her latest is 10 books on self-talk.
Yeah, maybe even more now. I don't know. I may have to update that.
What a wonderful challenge to have. I've lost count of how many books I've written. And best-selling status, I might add.
Thank you.
And her most recent book, Lipstick Self-Talk. What is the subhead to it? A radical little self-love book. Where can people get your books? Where can people follow you? I love following you on Instagram. You're on there every day posting positive things to think about. So how can people follow you and get your books?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I love hearing from readers. So I always offer up my email, kristen@kristenhelmstetter.com. And I have my podcast, which is a great little 5 to 10 minute podcast where I talk about extra little ways to add magic and, you know, like a magical living feeling to your life. And that's Coffee Self-Talk with Kristen Helmstetter. And the books are on Amazon, and you can pretty much go into any bookstore. And if it's not on the shelf, you can ask them to order it and they'll get it for you.
Very good. And then I'm sorry if I missed it. What are you on Instagram as?
Coffee Self-Talk.
Got it. Okay. Kristen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. We love having you here on the show, and congratulations on your latest book, which I've started. I can't wait to finish and use.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I love being here with you guys.
Yes, Kristen, thank you very much. And I'm sure Jonna much appreciates being spot on for once. So, Jonna?
Yeah.
Are you patting yourself on the back for that one, by the way?
I've been patting myself on the back this entire time.
I know, I can hear it. All right, well, listen, Kristen, thank you very much for joining us again. We do appreciate that, and we are not done with Happy Hour just yet this morning. We've still got segment 3 on the way, so please stick around, and we will be back with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and some more.
Live better and laugh harder. It's Sunday morning and Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Good morning one more time. Welcome back to Happy Hour. Here it's Jonna Spilbore. It is Carol Pesci and myself. And hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello,
Frankenberry.
Well, it was nice to revisit Kristen Helmstetter there, an interview we did just a few weeks ago, as a matter of fact. Lipstick self-talk.
Yeah, she always brings good energy, and she reminds me every time we talk to her that, you know, honestly, the most important relationship we have is the one with ourselves. We got these conversations going on inside our head, even out loud sometimes, hand raised. And it's not always positive, but she's proof positive of how she turned her life around by deliberately, on a daily basis, focusing on what she said to herself.
And it's so easy. So yeah, I can listen to her all the time because this advice is really simple little stuff that you can do like right now. You could, if you're listening to us, you could do it right now and improve your day or even a little portion of your day.
Right. And it can be over anything. It can be while you're making that pot of coffee. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be lipstick. Plus, I never can figure out what my color is. So,
or it could be while you're Googling catapult.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
I need your help, though, you guys, because I'm going to get myself a catapult big enough for me. And I'm going to need you guys to come over and launch me into the neighbor's yard. All right. Cause I won't be able to launch myself. So
what do we call that? So it's like a punkin chunkin, but but it's sauna. So we got to come up with a good name for it.
Well, and we also, Jonna, like a superhero, we have to wrap like a flag or something around your neck as a cape so that when you are flying into the neighbor's yard, that flag is fluttering behind you, you know, and maybe like Klinger from MASH in that one famous scene in MASH, you're wearing like pink fuzzy slippers.
Or a pink boa, which you have somewhere.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, with the feathers flying off of it as you go.
And if I get really good at it, I could have like a margarita in my hand and not even spill a drop, land in the neighbor's yard, do a little roll, sip my drink, be like, "Star this."
Oh, my God. You got such a good imagination. So you showed up to today's Zoom as Oscar and not Madison.
Yeah.
Is that due to the neighbor story or is there another reason you're Oscar?
Well, maybe you should let me see if you get it because before we got on the air today, Frankenberry did not understand the reference.
Oscar lived in a trash can.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. So Frankenberry went, Oscar and not Madison. What are hot dogs? I'm like, no, Frankenberry, that's Oscar Mayer. Get it straight.
Right. And you were correct. It's Oscar Madison from The Odd Couple. And I was wrong in my next thought of Oscar that Jonna is wishing that she could win one, you know, a little gold idol.
Oh, that's good, too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not what I was thinking. I was thinking Oscar the Grouch. But instead of being obvious, I thought I'd have a little fun. And I said, Oscar and not Madison. Figuring you guys would go, oh, of course, Oscar the Grouch. Yeah, of course.
which I got.
Yes, yes, you did.
So Carol, is that because of the neighbor or is there?
Yes. Oh, okay. And one other thing.
Of course.
The neighbor, and then quickly before you go, you know, my new car that I've been driving for 6 months, driving down the road, took a hit with a rock to the windshield. Not just a little ding. I watched my windshield crack all the way over. Like it just kept going. It just kept going. So that was, and that was this morning. So I have a lot of reasons to be a little, you know, meh.
Well, that probably startled you a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just so annoying. I mean, rocks hit windshields all the time, but this hit the windshield. I heard a big pop. It was almost like, you know, it sounded like a gunshot, but it wasn't a gunshot.
Were you pulling out of your driveway and was it really the catapult hitting you?
Good bet. No, I was on Route 9. But the weird thing was, I just watched it grew in front of my face, just kept right on going right across the windshield. It wouldn't stop. It was fascinating, but annoying because it's, you know, my windshield.
Okay. All right. Back in the can.
That's right. Put the lid on there, Oscar. We are closing up shop here, my friend.
Yes. Yeah,
my furry Muppet friend. All right. Well, listen, again, for the encore of Kristen Helmstetter and some lipstick self-talk, and for Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci, I'm Frankenberry. Thanks again for joining us, and we will talk to you again next week. Until then, have yourselves a good week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.